You probably have either heard or perhaps raised this question yourselves. Where is God? And it's not a faithless question. Sometimes for people, life becomes so burdensome. Sometimes things look so hopeless that just out of pure desperation and somehow wanting God to be so present, people will ask this question, where is God? A child's death, a horrible accident, devastating natural disasters and poverty and suffering, they can often make us ask the question, where is God? And throughout history, people have tried to answer this question in many ways. The most prominent of them was this philosopher by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. He said, God is dead. There are other people who are unsure. Where is God? Well, I really don't know. And then there are the crazy Catholics, like you and I. We point toward a child in a manger, or we point toward a mangled body on the cross, and we say, here is God. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, and it's a feast, really, that proclaims, here is God. This feast is also known as the manifestation, manifestation of the Lord to the world. The Lord is revealing God's self to the world. And so here's the question that I'm trying to reconcile. If God has been already revealed, then is the question, where is God, relevant? Or how do we answer the question? Sometimes for our own sake, or sometimes for the sake of people whose lives have become burdensome, how do we answer the question, where is God? So this is what I'm trying to reflect on in today's homily. And as always, I have found three answers. First of all, God is everywhere. The signature line of Christmas is what? The signature line is, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In other words, God did not merely come into the world or enter the world, say like we enter a doctor's office and then leave. That's not how God entered the world. No, rather, that statement, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, means that the world has been touched by God like never before. God made the world God's home. It's like you and I entering our home. We feel at home there. God came to us as a baby, grew among us, loved us, did good, died for us, and opened heaven's doors for us. Now, since God has touched the world and God has made the world God's home, we can find God everywhere because God has touched it. To the eyes that see nature and creatures, people and events, goodness and sadness, life and death, thrills and tragedies, all reveal God. Just like you can find God in a little baby in a manger, But then also find God in the tragedy of the cross. Really, God can be found in every aspect of our life. Especially as Catholics who believe in the sacrament and a sacramental world, the human touch can reveal God. Holy oil, holy water, rosary beads, medals and scapulars, bread and wine, they all manifest God in some way. They all reveal God. In some way, they all communicate divinity. So my first answer is, because God has touched the world, where is God? God is everywhere. Secondly, I want to talk about God in the human person. See, the Christmas story is the story of God becoming human. And this is important because God did not become a tree or an animal or a thing. That's not what we celebrate, right? God became human. God became like us. And perhaps God chose to become human because human beings are made in the image and likeness of God. In other words, the human person is the first sacrament of God. We believe there are seven sacraments, but the very first sacrament is the human person. The world is God's creation, but the human person is a sacrament because the human person reveals God. This makes the Christmas story very, very significant. Yet, there is a tragedy in all of this. Folks, many, many, many people who waited for centuries for God to come missed God when God came. They missed it. Today's gospel reading says that, right? Well, three magi came looking for the child who was God. People who were living in that very town missed God. And why did they miss God? Because they were not looking at the human person. They certainly were not looking at the poor, defenseless, powerless, and uninfluential human person. Would God be found in Herod's palace? Would God be found in the high priest's home? Would God be found even in the temple in Jerusalem? No, that's not where they found God. In reality, God was lying defenseless in a manger. God was hanging like a criminal on the cross. And only those who could look at every human person as a sacrament found God. And those who could not look at the human person as a way in which God reveals himself missed it. Missed it. The shepherds, the wise men, Jesus' mother, the centurion, they saw God in a human person. So the lesson simply for us is this. If you are a spiritual person on a search, like the wise men, do not overlook the human person. Especially the poor and defenseless. The immigrant among us looking for security. The disabled trying to find meaning and acceptance. The genuinely homeless trying to find warm hearts. Don't overlook them. Because those who could not find the human person to be a sacrament of God missed God when God came as a human person. My third point, I really want to bring my first and the second point together, particularly the Eucharist. I asked earlier if we Catholics are crazy. I actually made a statement that we Catholics are crazy, and I'm happy that we are. Why in the world do we bring a little bread and wine and after consecration believe that it's the real presence? Who in the world believes that? And if you talk about that to a person who doesn't understand the Eucharist, they'll say, you guys are nuts. And we are. Besides the fact that Jesus used bread and wine at the Last Supper, there is another great significance of the bread and wine. See, bread and wine, they do not just happen to appear here, right? This bread grew from the earth. The waters from the heavens gave it nourishment. The light made it grow. When we bring bread and wine, remember I said God touched the world? When we bring bread and wine, we bring something that has touched the entire world. Even though it's bread, this bread would not be here unless it was connected to the entire cosmos. No light, no water, no earth, there would be no bread. It's God's earth. And then what happens? The prayer says, human hands, the work of human hands. We take that bread and we put ourselves into that bread and wine. Our labor, our sweat, the farmers, the people who work in the factories, the baker, the people who market, we bring it all. So in many ways, this bread and wine represents both creation and humanity. Both of those things, I said, have already been touched by God. And so we bring it and we lay it on the altar. And we say, dear God, this is your gift. Creation is your gift. Humanity is your gift. And we come and place it on the altar. And what does God do? God blesses this gift that is of creation and the work of human hands and makes it into a self-gift. God takes that humble bread and wine, makes it something far greater than what we can imagine. What is it? The body and the blood of Christ. And then something, a miracle happens. The church teaches us that when we receive the body and blood of Christ, we become the body of Christ. Now we are truly a sacrament. Where is God? God is here, not just in the tabernacle. You and I become the body. We become what we eat. We are the body of Christ. So every Eucharist is an epiphany. Every Eucharist is the feast of the epiphany. Because God is revealed in nature, which we offer in the bread and wine. We eat the bread and wine and we become the body and blood of Christ. And Christ becomes real right among us. Every Eucharist is an epiphany. Where is God? God is everywhere. Where is God? God is in our midst. Where is God? God is on this altar. So like the wise men, it's time for us to hurry. Hurry to the manger, hurry to the altar so we can do homage. And as we recognize and worship Christ, who is our Lord, let us remember that we indeed become an epiphany of Christ. Each one of us becomes an epiphany of God to the world. People of God said,